Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. Glad we're together again, and I would like for you to join me for a few minutes, well, at least a couple of minutes, in thinking about our earth, our climate. It all belongs to our Creator who created it all. He created it for himself, but he also created it for us. You know, when it comes to relationships between spouses, relationships between parents and children, relationships between students and teachers, relationships between coworkers, relationships between humans and our earth, relationships between humans and the creator of the earth in which we live. How do we do? Do we do all that we can and should be doing to take good care of all of these relationships? Join me for a few as we listen to Michael Jackson's The Earth Song. Definitely ways for us to go about the business of progressing without destroying. We just have to decide. And I'm saying we as certainly our leaders, but even those of us who support the various leaders. Who do we look for? The leaders who are about protecting our earth, our climate? Do we prefer the leaders who push the policies that lead to destruction of our earth, our climate? We'll listen to this song some more as we go. In the meantime, the Earth's Climate, Center for Climate and Energy Solutions, and they let us know some of what's going on here. Humans, plants, animals are already feeling the impacts of climate change. And it's going to grow over time. We're going to see warmer air and warmer water temperatures causing more and more sea levels to rise and extreme weather events becoming more frequent and more intense. Extreme weather events becoming more frequent, which means we will have less time from one major event to the next to catch our breath. I'm not saying we won't have any time. I'm saying we will have less time. That's all. Because the events, the extreme weather events, are going to become more frequent. It's going to also be harder for us to catch our breath because, again, not only will the extreme weather events increase in frequency, but they're also going to increase in intensity. And it's important for us to be thinking about the cost. All of the costs. How many people around the world will we have experiencing post-traumatic stress disorder as these events become more intense and thereby do much more damage? Damage that leaves people emotionally and mentally traumatized. How many people are going to be waking up with nightmares throughout the night, not just in the morning when it's time to get up for the day, throughout the night, nightmares, and not just young children, adults as well. And then, of course, the more noticeable costs, the ones that are easy for us to see when the TV cameras are rolling, the costs to rebuild when terrible winds have just torn down and torn up and thrown around houses, commercial buildings, cars, trees, telegram poles. It's costing more and more from a financial perspective to pay for the repair of major weather events. And we're talking about greater frequency and greater intensity that has to lead to greater damage, which leads to greater costs to repair the damage. And just to think that a lot of that will be self-inflicted. It will come about as a result of many of our leaders who refuse to take the steps that the experts are telling us need to be taken, should have been taken long ago to stave this off. Rising carbon dioxide concentrations, making the oceans more acidic. Climate impacts also are not evenly distributed, either globally or in the United States. Researchers estimate that each degree of warming causes about a 1% drop in the United States gross domestic product. Each degree of warming is going to be harder and harder for Americans to do well financially. each degree of warming, causing approximately a 1% drop in U.S. GDP, gross domestic product. But some regions will experience much larger economic losses. Parts of Florida and the Gulf Coast could see their economy shrink, would you believe this, 25% if global emissions go unchecked. Can you imagine the Sunshine State? A state that so many people thoroughly enjoy visiting year-round, being so badly damaged that the offshoot is that they end up losing 25% of their economies. Part of the meaning of that, ladies and gentlemen, is that some of the beauty that so many people are accustomed to enjoying when they travel to the Sunshine State for vacations, people going there to spend time in their second homes, etc., much of that beauty will be lost. Let me tell you, we have a lot of money in this world. But the supply of money is not endless. We already know for a fact that we have a lot of decision makers who are inclined, determined to make bad decisions that lead to economic problems for everyone except the wealthy. Think about the fact that we had leaders in South Carolina, for example, who were opposed for years to accepting good policy that would have led to infrastructure changes, roads, bridges, highways, etc. And the changes would have been able to thwart some of the weather events that would cause problems. We had some of our politicians, President Obama, and the vast majority, if not all, of the Democrats in Washington, D.C., who were saying, look, we need to pour a lot of money into infrastructure to take care of our crumbling roads, our crumbling bridges, to build new roads and highways, etc. But unfortunately, on the other side of the aisle, on the local, state, and national levels, we had a lot of our leaders who said, nope, we don't want anything to do with that. And our South Carolina politicians admitted when the flood hit them somewhere around 2016, that had they taken care of matters beforehand, the damage would not have been nearly as great, and therefore the cost to repair would not have been nearly as great. Our leaders who come from us have proven time and time again that they are very willing and very ready to make bad decisions. Just like we have leaders now who have committed themselves to going about the business of making decisions that stand in the way of progress, good progress, taking care of our roads, our bridges, our highways, taking care of our climate by making changes with regards to pollution. We talk about the cost of repairing the damage done when extreme weather events occur. Ladies and gentlemen, under the best scenarios, our leaders probably would not be able to keep the money coming to keep paying for more and more damage. But when we are contributing to climate impact, to the negative climate change, and we see that what the experts have been saying for decades is happening, the weather events become more frequent and more intense and thereby do more and more damage. And still, our leaders stick with their positions. Is there any hope? climate impacts, again, are not evenly distributed. And I know that a lot of people, when you hear that, would be tempted to think about the poor amongst us, poor neighborhoods, poor communities, communities of color. And you think about communities of color, you think about communities of the poverty stricken, and you might say, okay, well, hey, if those areas are going to be hit harder by climate change, climate impacts than the other areas, oh, so be it. And for a lot of people, you'd be thinking, no big deal. It's not going to be quite that way. I mean, think about it now. Think about some of the mudslides, landslides, et cetera, that we hear about in California and other parts of the West. Think about many of the fires. The poor and the communities of color are not the only ones being stricken. And with this whole issue of 25% economic shrinkage of parts of Florida and the Gulf Coast, you can best believe that some of the people being hit will be people who have some means. Think about the health impact. A number of you have heard me talk about that. I haven't discussed the health impact, the physical health impact, in depth recently as I have before. I have touched on it, but I just haven't gone in depth. But think about as this pollution increases, as climate change worsens, the impact on people's respiratory systems. Think about the increase in warnings that we'll have to stay indoors as much as possible. And people who love jogging outside, riding their bikes outside, being outdoors, are going to hear more and more warnings to stay indoors because of the climate impact, because of what's happening with regards to the climate, the environment, the atmosphere. What impact will that have on people emotionally and mentally when they're not able to get outside and spend more time outdoors instead of being, as some people put it, cooped up inside? Although reducing emissions now can avoid the worst consequences, some impacts are unavoidable. The changes we're experiencing today will continue to grow. And that's largely because, again, many of our leaders who have the power to make the decisions as to what kinds of actions are taken, what kinds of actions are not taken when it comes to impacts on our climate, have devoted themselves to making the decisions that lead to harm, knowingly making the decisions that lead to harm. The information is out there. The people know. And as I've said before, situations do not create themselves. Worsening climate conditions are being created, being produced, being developed, being pushed by humans who make bad decisions over and over, who knowingly make bad decisions, who are on the wrong side of this position, the wrong side of this issue, knowingly. Warming increases sea levels directly, where water expands when it warms, and indirectly by melting glaciers and polar ice sheets. Global sea level has risen about 8 inches in the last 100 years. And that might sound like no big deal, 8 inches in 100 years. To my mind, that doesn't sound like much. But when we keep reading, that's when we begin to realize, okay, we keep listening and we begin to realize, okay, this is serious. That 8-inch increase in the last 100 years has made coastal storms more damaging, and it has been accelerating erosion. It's projected to rise an additional 1 to 4 feet by 2100, and even more if glaciers in Greenland or Antarctica melt especially quickly. 1 to 4 feet by 2100. That's less than 100 years from now. And I think that there's good reason to believe that the Earth will still be here and that there will be many, many people still on the Earth by the year 2100, which again is less than 100 years from now, roughly 82 years from now. How many of you expect to be around for 82 more years? I imagine quite a few of you. How many of you have children and grandchildren who could easily be alive 82 years from now? Regions experience different amounts of sea level rise due to differences in ocean currents, geology, and other local factors. The U.S. Gulf Coast and East Coast have experienced some of the fastest rates of sea level rise in the world. As the seas continue to rise, existing flood risks will increase. How do you think we'll respond to these existing flood risks? Do you think that we'll have more and more people saying, hey, you know what? This flooding is getting to be terrible. I'm moving away from this coast. Do you think that we'll begin to see more and more people moving away from the coast? Or do you think that we'll have more and more, we'll continue to have many people saying, well, you know what? It is bad, no doubt about that. But all we got to do is be resilient. We can deal with this. And they'll talk about the different steps that we can take, actions that we humans can take to cope with these rising sea levels and continue to build homes on the coast, continue to live on the coast and not relocate. Remember, we're being told already that we'll be seeing more and more waters being able to make it inland and not just at the coast. If I'm not mistaken, more and more water moving inland. Sometimes we are afraid, we're nervous, we're tense about what might happen. How far will the water go? Will it go? And we don't take it seriously enough. Once the event is over, we relax and we continue to support the people who continue to promote the madness, the risk, the danger. What do you think? As these flood risks increase, will we change our thinking? Warmer air temperatures amplify weather cycles, just as performance-enhancing drugs let baseball players hit more home runs. Scientists see this effect in weather events today. Warmer air temperatures amplifying weather cycles. Extreme precipitation events have produced more rain and become more common since the 1950s in many regions around the world. Again, now notice, since the 1950s, extreme precipitation events, more rain, and more common, not just since the 1980s, since the 1950s. In the United States, the Midwest and the Northeast have exhibited the strongest increases in the amount of rain falling in heavy precipitation events, increasing the risks to life and property from flooding. The Midwest and the Northeast. Many people who don't live on the coast know what it is to be hit hard by rains, despite the fact that you're not necessarily being inundated, overwhelmed by sea waters, rainwater coming down and wreaking havoc. And from what we understand, many amongst we the people are saying, hey, look, we need to be doing something about this climate. But many of our leaders who many people support say, hey, look, we hear you, but we're not listening. And they continue to make the decisions that lead to much greater risk. And eventually it won't just be risk, it'll be reality. It will be happening. Extreme heat events have become more common. As average temperatures have increased over the last century, the hottest days are hotter than they used to be. In the United States, more daily high temperature records are being broken, and fewer daily low temperature records are being broken. More parts of the country see days with temperatures above 95 degrees Fahrenheit. Hotter temperatures increase the risks of wildfire and drought and disease. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no question that a lot of our leaders are really bringing problems on us. But it's not just our leaders. How about the many, many people who insist on supporting the leaders who make these bad decisions?